The Joy Unleashed show empowers and inspires women to reclaim their joy. We provide tools, resources, and connections to help you unlock your true potential through engaging conversations, expert insights, and transformative stories. We create a vibrant and inclusive community where women can break free from the limitations that hold them back. I'm Joyologist Colleen Greco, and it is my honor to be your host. Let's get right into the show. If you feel like you're stuck, if you feel like you don't quite know your purpose, or maybe you know it, but you just can't find the path toward it. If you're uncomfortable in your own skin and want to finally master self-love, then we need to talk. I'm Colleen Greco, and I'm your Joyologist. I help women just like you to reclaim the joy they feel is missing in their life through mindset coaching and nutrition coaching. Whether you have weight to lose or simply need to get your gut in check, I've got you. We'll work together to retire limiting beliefs. Those are the stories that are keeping you from your purpose. I need you to hear me. Those are the stories that we need to get rid of in order to get you on your path to your purpose. We will work together to get you that life you've always dreamed of. It would be my honor to connect with you. Reach out to me via Instagram at @ColleenGreco or email Colleen@ColleenGreco.com. Let's get you back to the show. Now, this episode is brought to you by Lignum Wealth Management. I've worked with Mark at Lignum for over 15 years. And before you get your mind racing, wealth was not, and maybe will ever be, a term in my vocabulary. It's more like survival is how I started. And how to really develop a plan, 1-0 at a time. How do I plan for the future now? So that was our mindset. And you know, I spend my days coaching clients on ways to improve their well-being, and finances are a very core part of your overall well-being. Ignoring it doesn't make the problem go away. In fact, it makes it worse. And you wake up years down the line wishing that you had taken that first step towards a plan. With Mark, he takes a very personalized approach to coaching, and it's all about your financial goals, not his. And he'll provide you sensible solutions and referrals to other experts that help you with your situation. Having a coach like Mark guide our family through the various stages of life allows me to focus on what I do best. So take the first step today towards a solid financial future and contact Mark at Lignum Wealth Management. His information's in the show notes. He's had my family's back for over 15 years. Welcome back to another episode of Joy Unleashed. I'm Colleen Greco, your humble host, and today I'm so excited to welcome Megan Gall to the show. Hello, Megan.
Hey, Colleen. So nice to see you. How are you?
You too. I'm doing great. So we were just talking before we started about some discoveries I've had for all those listening and watching. And like, when I get excited about it, and when I feel like I'm out of alignment, my cheekbones start to hurt and my cheeks are on fire right now. It's so fun.
It's a good sign.
You're getting all the energy today.
That's awesome. I'm excited to be in it.
Well, do me a favor. And you know, for the folks listening and watching, if you could just give them a quick little intro about who Megan is and just tell us a little bit about what brings you joy.
Love this. Okay. My name is Megan. I am a health coach. I work with folks who have a weight loss goal, but they're looking to do it sustainably and in a way that feels like authentic to them, doable for them. So what brings me joy is definitely finding ways to make my health journey, my food, my healthy habits feel like something I super love. For me, that always comes up as like, let's fit in my favorite flavors and make sure that my meals are something that I look forward to, that I make in advance for future me. If I see a commercial and I realize I haven't had my favorite McDonald's sandwich in a while, I'm going to plan that in next week or the end of the week. So finding like really tiny ways to make sure that I'm fitting joy in intentionally. And for me, that's often favorite flavors. I think that's what kind of helped me make a big shift in my life, knowing that I could fit in good stuff while I was being healthy, which everyone thinks of as joyless.
100%. And when we first met, we shared a little bit about each other's journeys. And so I shared that I had gotten to this place of just numbing the pain, right? I ate and drank my way up to these weights that I hadn't seen since my pregnancies. And as a result of reclaiming my health, lost 52 pounds, and I have been able to keep it off for 4.5 years. But most people don't stick around to do that maintenance type of work, to learn the healthy strategies and the ways to fit these pieces of the puzzle together. Because that's what it is. It's a puzzle, and you can make space for everything. But what I try to tell people is you can't do it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Can you have ice cream 5 times a day and maybe be at your goal weight? Questionable. But can you have ice cream every day? Yeah, you just have to build your day around that, if that is the thing that you must have. So I'd love for you to, you know, take some time to walk us through your journey, because you had your own journey, pretty substantial one, I might add. Little cliffhanger there. But walk us through your journey and you know, tell us what was like, how did you get there? What was the thing that made you say enough is enough? I'm going to reclaim it. Let's start there.
Thank you. And I loved when we first connected that we found that we had this kind of journey and this maintenance goal in common, because it's hard to find us sometimes. It's hard to connect with other folks who are maintaining a weight loss and trying to do it in the most sustainable way that feels good to them. So long story short, I lost about 100 pounds over the course of 2018 to 2019. And the way I got to that, the point where I decided like a change had to happen, it wasn't really the weight that I reached. It was, you know, I was uncomfortable. I was, you know, 230 pounds. I was not saying yes to things out of exhaustion. You know, I was tired. I was going to work, coming home, eating takeout, you know, watching movies, going to bed. And I think what
you like got caught up in a habit.
Yeah. Oh, that was a big, there were a few habits that were contributing to me being at that weight. And I think the big one, the way to sum up all those small habits together, is that I was eating not out of purposefulness, but out of escape. I realized, like, similar to you, you mentioned like numbing out. And it's interesting because we think that that's joy. Like, if you had asked me at the time in 2018, like, you ordering like Chinese and, you know, ordering a dessert from this other place and sitting for 3 hours in front of the TV, if you had asked me, is that joy? I would have said, yes. Like, this is how I unwind from the day. This is how I relax. This is what I look forward to all day. So that was a strong habit, because it felt like that was the joy in my life that I was looking forward to. But one thing that I think you touched on was that it wasn't really, that might be joy in small doses, of wonderful taste, a fun show, hanging out with your partner. Like, those are small, well, partner, you should be, well, that's different. But like those things in small doses, of course they're joyful. Like, we want to savor nice tastes. We want to savor relaxing and laughing, and watching something interesting. But the more that it's used to numb, the more that it's used to, as the only thing to look forward to in the day, the joy gets sucked out of it. It truly does. It's not really what we think of as joy. It's escape from stress completely. And that was the habit that the most like concrete example of that habit was in the middle of my day, not just at the end, but in the middle of my day. I had a split shift between the morning part of my job and the evening part of my job. It's 2 hours. And I would go every day to a fast food restaurant, a casual restaurant, some place to sit and order enough food that would get me through those 2 hours comfortably. I mean, I say comfortably, but it wasn't really comfortable. You know, I was stuffed by the end, but I just spent that 2 hours not thinking about work. And that was the only thing that really got me through the stress that I was putting myself during the work day, which was not necessary stress, but I was unused to dealing with it. So those are really the examples of behaviors that made me say, there's something here that I'm not dealing with in the way I see other people dealing with. I don't see other people doing this habit. And it makes me feel like there's something wrong. I'm not treating myself in the way I want to treat myself. And that's kind of when I found I needed someone else's eyes on the situation. And that's when I started emailing local, CBT therapists that had experience in disordered eating. I was like, I need someone else to see what it is that I'm not seeing here. Cause it seems like joy on the outside, but it totally was not. It was escape.
So you found that there was just something inside you that said, this is not, and the word, I'm not going to use the right word here because I'm at a loss, but like, this isn't normal behavior. This isn't what I am supposed to be using food for. I'm trying to kind of like zone out. And I completely get that. I felt that too. I never got to the point, especially with drinking, because I do have alcoholism in my family. So I've always been hyper aware of that. But having 3 beers a night as an Irish person, first of all, is like nothing.
Yes.
And so I never got drunk from that, but I do feel like I found myself like waiting for 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I need that to help transition the stress of the day back to the, help me get through the stress at home. Mm-hmm. And then, kind of quiet the noise enough so that I could make it through and try to be present for my family, which I then realized I was like anything but present for them, and thought, wow, this like daily habit is crazy. And so I gave it up altogether. Now you can't do that with food, but I gave it up altogether thinking I could very easily see how this would lead to something bigger. And I started tracking. So 3 craft beers a day, every single day. And it's been about 4.5 years. I looked it up the other day. I think I've saved over $20,000.
Wow.
Some amount. And I'm like, ooh, what am I going to buy with that? Because I would have spent that anyway. It's like, it's crazy when you think about that. And then also the freedom it gives you. So talk to us a little bit about, you started on your journey, you maybe identified some of those, what I like to call non-negotiables, those things that you can't live without. That ice cream at 9 o'clock at night, you have to have, or you will absolutely fail at this new lifestyle.
Yeah.
You started to identify those and kind of piece those together, and you called them, I can't read my own handwriting, like your preferred flavors or something.
Yeah. 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 I think really what, broadly, what I identified as non-negotiable was the fact that I don't want to be saying no to a food because of the kind of food it is. I don't want, if I'm going to live with these new habits and I'm going to change in some way, I don't want to change in a way that means I can't try new foods when I travel, or I can't try something that a friend made, or I can't, those pieces of life are really important to me. Like, and I'm sure they're important to most of us. Like the diet industry really likes to kind of push an easy way to find a calorie deficit is to cut something out. Like it's very convenient because it's a strong line you can draw, and it's a quick rule you can make. If I don't have carbs, of course you're going to see some, water weight coming down. You're going to see, maybe you're eating less calories overall because of that choice. And so you're going to see some weight come off initially. But what I knew instinctively about myself was that there are flavors and there are foods that I'm okay with changing how many times I have them, but I'm not okay with saying definitively, I will never have these again in order to keep this weight off. that's not okay with me. So I think my kind of one of my newer habits was food journaling. And what I was seeing in there was the kinds of flavors that I would go towards, the kinds of foods that I really enjoyed and gravitated towards. And one of them is peanut butter. Like a lot of people say, like, have a very little bit of peanut butter if you want to lose weight because it's very calorie dense. But that's one food that I purposefully plan in to my meals on purpose, usually every day in a dessert or in a breakfast or something. Another thing is dessert. Like I often see people say, I don't want to eat past this time of day. And sometimes it's really helpful for them. Like, you know, it helps them to draw a line in the sand and say, you know, the kitchen's closed. I'm going to focus on other parts of my life. For me, I really wanted to keep that small bit of fun in the day. And I just changed the way that it would, like the volume of that time, you know, like before starting to make changes, that time really, it was the food that was the focus and it had to get me from dinner to bedtime. I was eating constantly that whole time. So for me, it was really a matter of like, I don't want to put any restrictions on what kind of food I can have in my dessert. I'm not going to be looking for only low sugar substitutes right now. I'm going to look for something that I truly enjoy, a full candy bar or like, you know, half a tub of Ben and Jerry's, but I'm going to decide on a portion and be okay with what that looks like in my whole day. So that it was important to me to say, I'm not kicking things out of my day and out of my diet. I'm going to fit them in on purpose to keep things feeling livable.
And that's literally how you win this game is because it is a game, by the way, mm-hmm. but is claiming your space and saying, I'm going to allow these things in, but I'm also going to respect them and respect myself. If I have these goals and I make these choices, maybe I don't weigh in the next day because I know that that mm-hmm. pizza is going to skyrocket my weight and it's not real. So yes. I'm not going to do that to myself, maybe because I haven't broken the emotional connection with the scale. But I'm going to, you know, have a little bit more water, you know, get myself back on track the next day. And then, you know, you can weigh in a couple of days later and note, wow, nothing really happened. It's like, yeah. But if you had done it the next morning, your weight would have been up 3 or 4 pounds. You would have been devastated and thrown in the towel. And I always tell people, I'm like, what did you expect?
Yeah. It's that knowledge of like, what is going to be my response when I see that number that I know in like from logic and from what I've read is that it's water weight that does not make a difference to my overall health. But I'm going to let it affect me. I definitely do this after trips. Like if I have a trip, I know that just eating out more, there's going to be some water weight hanging around, sodium, you know, the stress of traveling, even air travel can make your water weight spike.
Right. A little bit. Yep.
So all of that, I always leave it for a few days after I, you know, get back from a trip and then I hop up on the scale. But I like that you called it a game because it kind of lightens it a little bit because it feels so heavy sometimes. Our concept of the number, the range that we're in, even if we don't feel any different in our bodies, that number, like that imaginary thing, can just affect our willingness to do the actions that we know are helpful anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, applying grace at every turn. I have this client that is like, she's going through some emotional things as well as trying to get her weight under control and is like, I'm just going to hit the gym every single day. And I'm like, here we go. Okay. Please don't do that. Please get your rest first. Don't expect that the excess like workouts are gonna make up for mm-hmm. you know loosening the nutrition. Like I tell people all the time, working out is for your mental health. is for your mental health. You really don't burn nearly as many calories as you think you do working mm-hmm. out. The machines have you thinking that, but you would have burned most of those anyway. And when they learn that, they're like, no. Right. So I'm like, just do the workout because you want to do the workout. Mm-hmm. The other week she checked in with me and she's like, I had to do 9 miles today and I just didn't feel it and I didn't do it. And now it's going to throw off everything. I'm like, or I got my rest. I honored my body. I made better mm-hmm. choices. Like, which one feels better to you? And I gravitate towards the light, like towards the joy in the situation. And it's so hard for people to see that they have this other choice. They can direct their energy in another way. And it doesn't have to be this constant barrage of like self-deprecation and criticisms and shame and all that stuff. It can actually be lighthearted. And, you know, to our point earlier, like you can make it fun. So you do quite a bit of, I don't know if I should call it gamifying, but you make it fun. You actually have, I'll put it on here now, but you have a club that you've put together and you do Instagram lives all around meal planning, and you show people how you can do it. It can be sustainable. You can make it fun. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. I started this pretty recently in the past 2 months. And so what I've been doing is holding a space for you that can be a non-negotiable space in your week to spend that time on setting yourself up for success with the meals you have available to yourself the next week. A lot of us wing every week of meals. It feels very hard to save time to actually sit down and be clear on what we're expecting ourselves to enjoy the following week. You know, what breakfast am I going to have the ingredients for in the house? If I'm going to need three or four dinners for the household, what are those going to look like? You know, I'm going to eat out with colleagues on Friday, so should I make my lunches a little lighter? Like, that's very important for maintaining a weight loss or maintaining a healthy weight or trying to lose weight. But so few of us save that time on the front end to make sure it's actually easy for us to do that, because we get to the middle of the week and we're like, wait, there's really nothing in the house. There's like, I'm exhausted. I was going to take the chicken out to thaw, but I did not. And that's still in the freezer. And we're just going to go get pizza again. What this club does is it gives you a time every Thursday at 3:30 ET. Or if you can't join us, I send out the replay afterwards and you can follow along. But it gives you that 30 minutes of time that you're spending on future you. You're doing, it's not hard work, because we all kind of know what meals are realistic in the week. Even if we don't know them right now, you can kind of, with a few prompts, you can kind of come up with them. Like, what do you have for breakfast at home when it's really busy? What do you bring with you for breakfast? What is your like lazy dinner? Like, you know, is it pasta and jarred sauce with frozen meatballs? Is it a grilled cheese with a vegetable soup? Like, it's prompting to come up with what we already know and just write it out in a simple to read way. And what I do is I give you my like printable planner template that you can use, follow along with me as I do my own. But basically, the important part is saving that time to actually give yourself your menu of expected meals. Then grocery shopping is so much easier. And going through the week and putting those meals in front of you is going to be 10 times easier, because you have this to look back on and to remember, like, these are the things that work for whatever goal I'm trying to accomplish. For many of us, it's weight loss. But for others, it's like eating at home so I can reduce the sodium, or eating at home so I can like be in control of how much dairy I'm having, you know, whatever your needs are for what would make you feel better. A little bit of planning goes a long way for that.
100%. Excuse me. I don't know what's going on with my voice, but I really want to encourage people to go to partakemealplanning.com/join the club. I think it's great too, because I find with people I talk to that they generally do eat the same four or five things a week. Yeah. And I noticed for myself, I actually really like eating the same thing every day, because it just takes the thought out of it. I just kind of go through the motions and pull it together and I'm done, and I don't have to dedicate any more headspace to it. I personally don't like to cook. My husband does like to cook, but comes home later. And so like that time gets really compressed. And so we started looking at, well, we actually don't mind eating the same things every day, because then it also makes my restaurant meals so much more fun.
Yes.
I'll have whatever I want. Like, I don't even care. I'll go for whatever it is. And so that's another option too. If you don't really like to cook, this is a great planning system for you to just kind of map things out and get into a rhythm. And maybe you decide, I'm kind of getting sick of something, and you swap one or two things out. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have different meals every day in order for this to be successful. Is that right?
Oh, it's so true. And I found over time, I've become more and more okay with less variety in my week. Like at the beginning, you know, we all change over time. At the beginning, I was very adamant, like, you know, breakfast, I didn't eat too much breakfast at the beginning. I do now. But lunches, I always wanted variety. I was planning different things all the time. Dinners, I was still doing takeout and delivery. I was tracking it and I was having less than I did before, but I wanted variety all the time. As time went on and I became a little more comfortable in the kitchen, and I knew what made me feel good, that is when I was like, I really don't need a ton of variety. You know, I can add a different topping on my yogurt bowl for variety. I can add a different, you know, a different vegetable to the side of this turkey burger. And that feels like a little variety to me. And like you said, I love that you said it makes the restaurants more special, because it's so true. I have experienced that very strongly. Now our dinners at home, usually they rotate between like three or four easy protein sources and, you know, either a salad kit or frozen vegetables in the microwave or roasted vegetables or something really simple. But what that does is it like lets us inject the variety into one or two restaurant trips a week. A fun dessert that, you know, is another source of variety. Like for me, that was the authentic way that I was growing into. I was just kind of creating my own like favorite way to eat. And I think a lot of people just feel a ton of guilt about how they eat. Yeah. And it's not fun. I have been there. Like that's where I was in 2018. I was eating and then feeling just a huge weight of guilt. Like, why did I do that? Like, I feel like I couldn't control that. I feel like I couldn't make another choice. Why am I like this? And that's what like winging it sometimes feels like for people too. Like, here we are, we did three, you know, delivery or takeout orders for the family this week. Like, why am I like this? And it's a demoralizing way to feel. And I think what gives me hope is that like this, the tiny changes that are actually doable just help you see like, okay, no, it doesn't have to be like this completely. I can do a little improvement here. And if I'm ready, I can keep improving. But like, let me just take a small step forward that I know I can do.
100%. And I have to wonder, hopefully this is okay to ask because I'm going there.
Okay.
There is some mindset work that has to happen because it's a major psychological shift, especially as you're talking about losing 100 pounds. That's double what I lost. And I know what mindset work I had to do. Mm-hmm. So how did you... Well, before I ask that question, and I'll also say it takes a while for your brain to catch up to what your eyes see.
Yeah.
So you can see yourself at, you know, I don't know, size four, size six, whatever your goal was. But in your mind, you're still a, you know, double digit or into the 20s size, right? And you still think of yourself that way. And that's what you see, even though that's not what you really see visually. And so what type of journey was that like for you, and how did you chip away at that? Because I try to advise people, don't even worry about the mindset piece in the beginning. Let's just get the fundamentals down and then you can start to incorporate that over time. But what was that like realistically for you?
I love how you connected that with, let's not do the mindset piece right away. Like, let's not pressure ourselves to change how we're thinking.
Yeah. Let's not blow up our entire world all in one moment.
Exactly. And I think that's why the strength of like, my, my cognitive behavioral therapist, one of the first questions she asked me was, can you drink one more glass of water a day? She did not say like, can you unpack how your relationship with your father is affecting whether you want to drink water today? Like, no.
You're like, oh, sure.
Yeah. So that's the amazing thing. Like she, like you, was like, let's focus on an action that feels right in your wheelhouse. Like, let's start getting you a small piece of evidence that you, of course you can do actions. Of course, you're a human, you're capable of moving and making decisions and, you know, doing hard things even. Let's start with an easy thing, but you can do hard things. So the mindset piece really, I think I used a bit of a catalyst of that kind of seeing that guilty behavior, that guilty cycle that I was seeing with food. I used that to reach out for help, but I hadn't changed anything in my mind yet other than this is something that I would like to change or see if I can. I didn't have hope that I could change it yet at that time.
That's a big step though, in fairness. I mean, right now you're like, I think this is the right direction. I'm just going to try it because I think where I'm at is not where I'm supposed to be. So that's enough to start.
Yeah, totally. I think it was a difference between thinking like this is unchangeable versus this is changeable. So that's kind of big, possibly changeable. And I think after I started taking some of the actions that didn't require much thought, just commitment. So like journaling my food, seeing what my calorie intake was and drinking more water. After I started seeing that, what those actions did, they were really good actions because they were based to get me helpful information. Food journal information was so valuable to me because it really, as a numbers person, it prompted me to kind of gamify, you know, okay, this is my average now. Am I capable of planning out the day so it's lower? I think I am. Like, and I was teaching myself through the challenge of trying to eat at a lower calorie amount than I was doing before. That challenge helped prompt me to see some strategies that I could take. So one of them was like every Sunday saving time to make a lunch for myself for the week. So I think the actions taught me some different ways that I was thinking of myself. So I gave, basically by becoming someone who went to the grocery store every Sunday and cooked for an hour or an hour and a half every Sunday, I was then seeing after a few weeks, I'm like, oh, I'm a person who does that. I'm a person who sets myself up that way. I must be a person who values my health. That's cool. Like, I didn't think I was, yeah, but I am.
It just unfolds. You're like, yeah. And I feel better. So I might try to do that a little bit more. And I talk to a lot of people who will say, well, I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. Check your screen time, screen time on your phone. And it might disagree with you. I mean, there are times where I'll say, I didn't have the time today. And I'm thinking, yeah, but I watched that movie.
Like, yes, exactly.
Like I did have time. I just chose to allocate it to the movie and that's okay. But we like don't realize how much justifying and excusing we give ourselves.
Oh, so, totally.
And it's fine. Just own it is all I'm saying. Just own the fact that you chose the movie over the meal planning and now own the little bit of chaos that you feel because you didn't do the meal planning, right? Yes. Get that done. And then the rest of the day is smooth sailing.
Oh, it's so true. I have a client who recently set a goal. Like she was feeling good about, you know, her meals and her movement routine, but she knew that like her Instagram habits in the morning were like killing her desire to get up and move. So she said, I think I'm going to stop, you know? So we talked about kind of setting a goal to only check her Instagram on the desktop, not on her phone, deleting the app and all that. And then the next week came back and she was like, I didn't do so well. And I said, did you delete the app? And she said, no. And I said, can I challenge you to delete the app? And she said, yes. Okay. Thank you. And now she feels like a really big difference in the morning. She has mentioned like that morning time really, she intentionally is now using it for something completely different than she was. And it totally changes the tone of her day. And being real about where we spend time is hard. I think it's harder when you're like, you don't have all those external things. Like for me, when I was in 2018, I had 40 hours of work a week. I wasn't one of these like overworking 50, 60, 70 hour people. I didn't have that expectation on me. And I didn't have kids. I didn't have a husband. I didn't have a big household to clean. So it was like kind of a get real with yourself and own it moment of like, okay, I am in fact spending a lot of this time on things that don't set me up at all for the future. Okay. So am I okay with that? What am I willing to change? And clearly at the beginning, what I was willing to change was that Sunday morning time. Like, let me get to the store and let me make something, even if it doesn't taste perfect right away. Slowly, I'm going to get better at this over time. But it was hard because there's a moment of reckoning of like, okay, I should change this. The piece that I always want to hear more about is like, when you do have all those external demands on your time, you are working 50, 60 hours a week, you have a team of people you have to support, you have, you have kids that you have to manage their entire schedule and their caretaking. What do you do? I'm curious about your experience, like trying to save some of that time back, get some of that time back, even though you had these external demands on you.
Well, and it's so interesting that you say that, because I try to approach everything from a place of like love and joy and giving people grace and space and all that. But the reality is, try not eating for a few days and see how that works for you. You will die.
Yeah.
So that's a reality. So like, you still have to eat. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time, like, even if you decided you were going to go through the McDonald's drive-thru, they still serve salads. Okay. Like, you can still mm-hmm. make a healthier choice than the bacon double cheeseburger. And so for us in the beginning, it was, you know, the kids maybe wanted chicken nuggets and they were little. Well, at that point they weren't, no, but whatever, that's what they were having. Well, I can still incorporate my vegetables that I was having with their chicken nuggets. And so it wasn't creating four different meals, but it was like modifying, like pulling some mm-hmm. things in that were staples for all of our meals and then making some adaptations for the things that they like. And then, you know, there was a while that we tried to say, okay, everybody picks a night, like yours is Monday. So what do you want? But they're pretty indecisive when it comes to food. So that didn't last very long. We tried the meal delivery systems too. Let them dictate. But we realized they were ordering the same things all the time that we could make at home. So we're like, well, we won't do that anymore. So we did try a bunch of different things. And now it's really back to, we determine the menu and they'll just eat it. Because honestly, they're creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. We all are. And it's a matter of, you know, just trying to think a little bit ahead. I do pre-cook a couple of days, usually 2 or 3 days worth of chicken and mm-hmm. reheat it. It doesn't taste reheated to me. I don't know. It's maybe I'm just so used to it.
I love that strategy because you could throw that in like 8 different sauces that you have and like get some ready for you.
Assemble and be done. And the same with my vegetables, the Brussels sprouts that I made, I think it was 2 days ago, will still have a crunch today. Mm-hmm. And they taste just as fresh as they would have that day. So I don't understand all of this. Like, I can't meal prep because it doesn't taste fresh. It does taste fresh. It actually almost tastes better to me.
Yes. I personally love leftovers. Like, I will make a meal on Sunday and then eat it for 5 days in a row. I enjoy that. I know my sister, up until recently has been like very adamantly anti-leftover, and she's like, what do I do? And she lives on her own. So it's really hard for her to find like the meals that make sense for her. For her, her success has been like, I am going to be like the assembler almost. Like, I think places like Trader Joe's and Target are now making it much easier to be an assembler rather than a cook mm-hmm. and still eat well, like still feel like you're eating good tasting things that have vegetables in them. The salad kits, the flatbreads, the frozen vegetables. It tastes better now than it used to when we were kids, in my
100%. Opinion. 100%. Yeah. And I own the fact that I am not an Iron Chef. I have a sister that is. Good on you. I do not want to spend 4 hours making this dinner. She does. That brings her joy. Go for it. I don't. I'm also the youngest of seven, so my job was to stay out of the kitchen. But so I've never had a complaint from the food. The kids seem to like it. And then again, I leave the like euphoria of that Iron Chef like meal for the restaurant. And I just like, I don't know. I think I lower my expectations on food and realize that food is there just to keep me alive. It is that not there to be my friend or my weapon of mass destruction. Like it's there to just keep all of this going.
Oh, totally. And yeah. Attitude or not attitude, but kind of, it's almost like a cycle. I feel like sometimes it comes back. Like if we're used to thinking that way for a good period or a good chunk of our time, our adulthood or even our childhood, I really do think it comes back because it's almost like a default underlying way that we conditioned ourselves to deal with stress. So we put forth a big effort into changing and building new ways to deal with stress while we're handling the food thing in a more reasonable way. But then every so often, and this is a big part of maintaining, I'm curious to hear your experience of it too, but every so often we have this period of time where those tendencies pop back up in the brain. Mm-hmm. Even we might have a week or a few weeks of, oh my goodness, did I lose everything that I built? Did I just revert to dealing with this stress through food? You know, like I haven't learned a thing. Like what happened? So that is something that has been huge in my maintenance journey of seeing and almost expecting those times to come back. And every time they do, finding the most kind way to live through them, put myself in as best position as I can, and keep moving forward based on what ideally I know brings me joy, which I know is feeling healthy, like balancing food rather than overusing food, and being able to say yes and be present at all the other parts of life that are really important, which emotionally dealing with stress through food does not allow me to do. So like, is that something you've seen in your maintenance journey too?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I tell people all the time, you're fooling yourself if you think you're not going to fall. You will fall. The victory is in the rebound. So the victory is in how long you stay like stuck or fallen. So, you know, you fall off the wagon because you went on vacation and you're having trouble getting back on. Well, maybe you used to stay stuck for months and now it's weeks and then it's days and then it's like hours and minutes and seconds, right? So the time that you're down is decreased, and that's the victory that you celebrate. That I used to be stuck for months or years. And now I'm like, I need to get back to working out. I need to get back to meal prepping or whatever. Like you just have these realizations. Because again, this is kind of what we were talking about before we started, was like up-leveling yourself. You will still have those limiting beliefs pop up, or those triggers pop up, or those moments where you kind of like forget or think you forgot everything you knew, or those triggers come in the side door. Those are my favorite, where you're like, where'd you come from? But you're smarter now and you're like, hang on a second. I know what this is. And then you adjust. And so celebrating the fact that you fell off or down or whatever, and then saying, I'm going to love myself through this and say, it might take me a few days to get back on track. And that's okay. Because think about how many days you're alive and how many, like maybe you're stuck for three. Is that really a big deal in the grand scheme of things? No. And you'll just continue to do better. So to me, it's all about that magic word of grace. When you can shower yourself in grace, suddenly you realize like, I'm human. Yeah. Fascinating.
And the cool, okay, when you said grace, like what, I think I do offer myself grace. And I think the form that I do it in now is like, you realize you don't have to do any of this, right? Like, like you actually don't have to plan your food. You don't have to journal your food. You could go completely back to how you behaved with food in your early adulthood. You totally could. No one is stopping you. I feel like, you know, and I kind of in my thoughts, like talk to myself as though you're feeling like you need to protect yourself against something. Like I see that you could go back. Let me give you that full permission. You do not have to do the things that you're feeling so resistant to doing right now.
Yep.
Pause. Like you don't have to. Full stop.
My husband likes to say, take a lap. Oh, take a lap, Greco. I'm like, got me again.
I'm writing that down right now.
I'm like this close to getting it as a tattoo. He says it so much, it like annoys me. And so he's probably listening. Hi, Steve. Thank you. Take a lap.
Brilliant, Steve.
Well, excellent. What do you have as parting words to the audience today? Because first of all, I could talk to you for like the next 10 years. Easy.
Oh, yes. Me too. Oh, it would be excellent. I would be glad to get together again and do something else similar. My parting words, I think like if you're looking to make a big change and you don't want to make that like big mindset shift right away, but you want to start with some actions and like make sure joy stays in whatever changes you're trying to make, I would say like do the legwork, like do the planning to plan that joy in, like I did, like plan your favorite foods in, make sure they exist in your meals or in your, you know, week somewhere so that you're not depriving yourself of good stuff. And savor that stuff. And you can savor food and the beautiful taste you give yourself, but you can also savor all the other good stuff that happens in your day. A nice comment that someone made at work, or something fun you did with your child, or looking at pictures from last year's vacation. Like you can savor all of that stuff. So don't just savor like the food, savor the fulfilling parts of your day, and don't let them just pass by like you didn't deserve them. Like you deserve them. So make sure you, I don't know, you stay in them for a little bit. Give yourself that gift.
Amen. Like savor the experiences is what I wrote down. Like, I love that. And it's, you know, when you get a compliment, like really take that in. Somebody took the time to say something kind, make that mean something and not like this fleeting moment. So I love that. I want to make sure people know where to find you. So follow Megan on Instagram at partake_foodie. Megan, this was really fun. Thank you so much for being on today.
Yeah, Colleen, thank you so much. It was awesome. Highlight of my day.
And that was another episode of Joy Unleashed. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. Well, that was a great episode with Megan Gall. She is a delight, and I really encourage you to follow her on Instagram or join the club, which is the link that we have in the show notes. And I also shared on screen. One of the things that we talked about, and here's your joy tip of the day, is savoring the comments, savoring the experiences. So when somebody, you know, takes the time out of their day to give you a compliment, that isn't anything that they need to do. And I personally have found that it almost dishonors them to say, yeah, thanks, and then move on. I really want to own that. I want to, you know, embody that and honor the time they took to say that kind thing, again, that they didn't have to do. But do that so that you can begin to fill your own cup up. They see something in you that you don't see in yourself yet. So for now, trust them. Absorb what they say. Savor the comments. Savor the experiences. And above all, give yourself grace. Thank you for tuning in to Joy Unleashed. As always, it's my honor to be your host and joyologist, Colleen Greco. Follow me at The Colleen Greco on Instagram for daily motivation and inspiration. And don't forget to leave my show a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, sisters.